Man, it feels good to be here. Even though, you know, life throws a bunch of stuff at you. And I told Pastor this morning, this last couple of weeks has been heavy in many, many areas of my life. Because the Father shows you, you don't prepare for something like that that happened, that close to home. You can't prepare for that. But you have to step up when the time is, when you're called and it's time for you to step up and be that light, right? And like Nick says, I sent her a little text the other night. Just to let her know how much I appreciated her being every day there for me. If nobody else tells her, I just wanted her to know that. And I ain't worrying about eating. You can find anything. My brother asked me the other day. He always asked me, what you ate? What you ate? I said, well, that day, I said, it was grits. He bust out laughing. I said, yeah, I didn't feel like cooking. I don't know what time Nick get home. I'm usually sleeping by the time she gets home. And I just put two packs of Instant Grits in the microwave, warmed that bad boy up, and went to bed. Man, some people ain't got nothing. If I'm gonna cry over eating grits, I better check myself quick, fast, and in a hurry, right? So yeah, it was grits. So I wasn't worrying about eating. She ain't gotta worry about me eating. I'm gonna eat. But lo and behold, now we going in chapter 3, because Pastor done shut the door in chapter 2 last night. If you wasn't here, chapter 2 is done. And I wasn't prepared. I ain't going to lie to you. But I told my brother this morning, I said, boy, I wasn't prepared to go in chapter 3. But I listened to his message last night, and he said, we closing the book. We're going to chapter 3. I said, okay, well, here we go. So now I'm studying chapter 3. Anyway, 2 weeks, that Shabbat that we were supposed to, that we was coming, that Jacques died, my message was prepared, and it was talking about, you know, it was talking about how Moshe seen. You know, he seen the stuff, the oppression that was being brought upon his people. He seen the beating. He had eyes to see. God gave him eyes to see. So what do I do? As I'm preparing, you know, you're preparing this message, and I'm like, man, Father, give me eyes to see the people's burdens. Help me to see that. Help me to have that burden for them. Help me to see when something's going on. Because look, you can easily walk past by somebody and you might sense that something's wrong. But if you ask them, they say, no, I'm good. And you're going to take it as face value. You're just going to move on. Oh, he's fine. But listen, people's not really fine. They lie. We lie. We're not really fine. So anyway, as I was preparing for this message, and then as I'm telling you, then that burden happened. Now I see it. It was so quiet that morning going up there in that van driving because I felt the weight just that fast. Like, yeah, you asked me to see burdens, and here it is right in your face. What you gonna do about it? I seen it. I felt it. I've been feeling it for weeks now. But it's in the hidden places. It's in the hidden places where he does his most work. And so when that happened, I was like, oh, man, here it is. Just that fast. When you ask him, he's going, he was preparing me, should I say, for the weeks leading up, because I was getting ready to prepare this message about the God who sees and how Moses sees and just the whole nine yards and asking to see burdens, you know. And Moses acted out of character a little bit with it. He jumped the gun. You know, God let him see it, but he thought he could have took it into his own matters, into his own hand. And then, you know, the story. But anyway, when I asked, I didn't think it was going to be like that. So, yeah, we know where most of our time is going to be spent because she has so many. Y'all would not believe the conversations, the denominations, the people's there. This one's ideal. That one's thought on how she should handle this. So just it's mind blowing. It's kind of overwhelming, you know, to sit and think. But that's when you know that God, we're there for a reason. They're there to talk about what they think they should do and the route she should go, but we're there to spread truth because there's no truth, and I'm going to say it, and maybe they might hear it if they listen to it. There's no truth going into that household, none whatsoever. I'm talking about conversations that would, I'm pretty sure you might have heard it in some people that doesn't know truth, the conversations they have. And boy, the more you hear it, the more the burden comes on you, the more you feel it. You know, just yesterday was talking about, you know, they steady giving her medication, right? Because she's not sleeping. That's what she needs. It's early. And when I hear that, it does something to me, because I know, I told Nikki that, and it's, I said, I know what I have to, my next conversation with me is going to be about that, this medication that they stay pumping down your mouth, because you don't need that. That's a lie. It's a lie from the enemy. They don't know it, and you don't know it, and they telling you that, and that's false. Because I came from that, Mia. I know what that medicine's gonna do to you. I know the stronghold that'll grab on your life. And if you ain't got people praying for you, you ain't coming from that. That's you, and she's in danger, church. Mia is in danger with the people that's up there trying to help her guide through this. And they mean well, don't get me wrong, but because that's their way of dealing with stuff. They don't know this. They don't know that if you just get on your face and ask him for peace, and beg him and pray and just seek him. Seek him. Stop seeking the world. She's got a long road. So, yeah, we thank you. Our family thank y'all for praying for her and us. But we know the burden. We see it. And we gotta tackle. So here we are. We're going to go in Exodus 3. Now, we just seen in Exodus 2, it looked like nothing is being, like God is not even He's silent, should I say, because he's present. But it looked like he's silent, like nothing's happening for 400 years while he was in there, because they got a lot of stuff happening to him. But in Exodus 3, he's about to move. He's about to speak, should I say. He's starting to speak right here. So let's go ahead. Look, and I'm going to read it. I'm going to read the whole chapter, and we're going to touch on every little verse, just some high points. And then again, the guys behind me, they can cut it up and do what they want with it. But here we go in Exodus chapter 3. It says, I am the God of the covenant. Exodus 3, let's read it. And Moshe was shepherding the flock of Yitro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of Elohim. Now, Moshe, this is far from what he's leading to the back of the wilderness. It says he's leading the flock. You're talking about a guy that just had everything where he was at. He's far from his fellow's household to everything he wanted, needed. He didn't want for nothing. He didn't need nothing. He had everything. But now look where Elohim's got him at. He's teaching him something, though. He's in a hidden place. He's in a hidden place. It's where he's forming them, because he's about to use him mightily. It says, when Elohim reveals his name, he reveals his character. He reveals his covenant. He reveals his presence and his purpose. So if he's telling you his name, it goes on with all this list of characters and his covenant. And his present and his purpose goes right along with when he mentioned his name. Moses thought he was leading sheep into the wilderness. Elohim was leading Moses into an encounter with destiny. To an encounter with destiny. Think about it. What's our destiny? Where is he leading us to? We know he's leading us to a bunch of places. To a big spot right now. We know for sure where he's leading us. But where else? Where else individually? Right now, we know where he's leading us as a group, as a church, as a whole. But what about in your own life individually, where he's leading? You gave that any thought? He meets Moses in the wilderness. He's no longer in a place, in palace, in Pharaoh's palace. He's not leading Israel just yet. He's not doing anything that appears significant. He is shepherding sheep. He's just a shepherd boy. Think about it. He's just learning how to, he doesn't know, but he's just learning how to deal with animals, with a sheep. And people are like sheep. Yeah. Sometimes we follow. We see one sheep do, the other sheep do. See, one sheep go this way, the other sheep go that way. We're just like sheep. It's not a coincidence that the Father is using sheep to get Moshe's attention or to teach him what he needs to do. Yet there Yet this is where Elohim meets him. Shepherding sheep, and he's about to start shepherding people. Millions. Look, we're here, just look, about, what, 50 of us? And sometimes shepherding 50 people is difficult. And I could only imagine when it's you being the in total control or leadership. You know what I'm saying? Right now, I'm just, someone is guiding me along. I can always fall back on that someone. But when you the person, Moshe didn't have nobody but Elohim. He didn't have nobody else to fall back on when God called him. He's got to rely on God. And that's the application for our life. When he calls us, we don't have to rely on someone else. Let's rely on him. Don't rely on the next person. Because my relying on somebody came this close this morning. So close. But my wife had to be a wife and put something in, a little bug in my ear that kind of had to, it was almost a slap. Like the get your mind right slap. Not just a slap like I hate you slap. It was, I'm just being your wife. Yeah, I hear you. Thank you. But it was this close. Why? Because of knowing that I had that I could sway that way. Instead of fully relying, just saying, take a pause, relax, and just stop and let's get in line with him. Let's bring my petition to him. But we always want to bring the petition to someone who's close to you, someone you can talk to. No, let's bring it to him and let him do what he does. The wilderness wasn't necessarily a place of rejection. It looked like it, but it wasn't. It became a place of preparation. So if you're in a wilderness, if you're in the wilderness right now, and some of us very well might be, you're struggling with something, you're going through something, you're seeing something, you're dealing with something, but he's preparing you. It's where is the wilderness is where, in the hidden places. So Moses, he spent 40 years in Egypt and 40 years in Midian. So that's what, 80. 80 years old. Then he's being called. Think about that. The Elohim would use him for the deliverance of Israel. Don't despise your wilderness season. Don't despise it. Don't hate it. Don't be, oh, poor me. Give him praise in that wilderness season. Give him praise. As crazy as it feels or seems, give him praise in that wilderness season. Don't despise it. Because look, you can easily start your mind. The enemy attacks the mind. He can get you thinking, well, nothing's happening. Is he there? Is he listening? He hears everything. He hears and see everything. Nothing gets passed by Elohim. Nothing at all. Verse 2. And the messenger of Yehovah appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked and saw the bush burning with fire. But the bush was not consumed. Can you picture that? Think of a bush around your house being on fire. And look, there's no smoke. There's not the leaves are not withering up. There's no crackling when you hear like branches popping if you set them on fire. None of that has happened. All Moses sees is a bush burning. Just sees fire. He sees nothing else. That's intriguing. Because what the scripture tells you, what does he do? He turns to see. And we know Moses liked to see because he come out of Pharaoh's house and he seen Pharaoh's palace. He sees the Egyptian tearing his brother up. He sees. So this caught his eye. So he turned, right? He turned to see. And Moshe said, let me turn aside, see. And Elohim called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moshe, Moshe. And he said, here I am. When's the last time I know you heard your name called. When's the last time you heard? And what did we say? Did we respond with the here I am? Or did we thought, oh, that's just in my head. I'm just thinking that. Surely that ain't God. But look, and then Moshe, not just one time. He didn't say just Moshe. Dual. Moshe, Moshe. That's important. The bush was burning but not consumed. The messenger of Jehovah appears in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. The remarkable thing isn't merely that the bush is burning. The remarkable thing is the fire does not consume it. Think about that. That'll get your attention, because we know what fire does. Fire destroys stuff, burns it to the ground. But this here thing, this bush, this fire that was over this bush, it looked at just as if it was nothing was around it, just a flame of fire, but nothing was happening to it. Nothing at all. The bush is fragile. The fire is powerful. Yet the bush survives the fire. Moses is about to discover something. The presence of Elohim can sustain what naturally should have destroyed you. Amen. Anybody could witness to that, could testify to that? The presence of Elohim can sustain what naturally should have destroyed you. What naturally should have destroyed me years ago, just months ago, the presence of Elohim has sustained me. For what? To do nothing? No, he wants to hear me say, here I am. Here I am. For what? To do whatever you want me to do. To do whatever you want me to do. Even when I don't understand it. Even when I think I'm not prepared enough. Even when I think, like Moshe, can't speak well enough. Here I am. That's all he wants to hear. Moses had to turn aside. Let me turn aside now and see this great sight, he said. This is an important Hebrew principle. Moses noticed something. Then he turned aside. Then Elohim spoke. Moses had to stop what he was doing long enough to pay attention to what Elohim was showing him. That's our kicker. To slow down, to just put it in cruise, and let's hear what he's speaking to us. Because Moshe noticed, he know one thing. The last time the father showed him, gave him eyes to see, he acted out of character. He took matters into his own hand. But this time he won't. This time he says, here I am. He's going to yield to him. I'm going to do it the way you want me to do it. Even you're going to hear my complaints, though, Father. I'm going to complain because it's just my human nature. I don't see myself in this type of status or whatever excuse you can throw at him. But here I am. Here I am. Stop and just slow down long enough to where he can lead you in the right direction. Sometimes we're asking, why isn't Elohim speaking? But perhaps he is saying, turn aside and look. When's the last time we turn? Look, you know why we don't turn aside and look? And this was part of the message when I was going to talk about the sea and all that. Because if when you ask him to see, now you have an obligation when he shows you. That's what we're scared of. Now we have an obligation to pray. We might have an obligation to go and visit. We might have an obligation to cook a meal for him. You might have an obligation to send him a text message. So when you see, We have a responsibility then. You know, I could have asked God to see that all day long. Let me see burdens, you know, let me see a burden of the people. And when he showed me, now I have a responsibility. And I could ignore that and nobody would know. Nobody could know what God was dealing with me about the burdens of people and seeing. But when he does get your eye focused and he finally allows you to see, then it's our responsibility to do. It's not his. He's going to do, but he also wants us to do as well. But sometimes we don't want to see, you know, because that's not my favorite person. It's not my favorite house. Or they should have known better. Or they know better. It's not what he's saying. Yeah, we all know better. We all do stupid things, though. We go through things. So if he's going to give us eyes, what we ask him, we always say, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to know. How many know that don't just pertain to his word? To people's lives. Yeah, this is the the main part of it, you want eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to know this. But if you want eyes to see and ears to hear people's hurting, you better be ready for it. Be ready for it. A divine encounter requires a divine attention. Divine encounter requires divine intention. Amen. Don't be so busy getting somewhere that you miss what Elohim is showing you along the way. And we easily could get so busy, especially if you got a job. If you work 5 days a week, 10 to 12 hours a day, and sometimes it goes longer. Sometimes it goes 14, 15 hours a day. Just what it is. It's just a job. But don't get so busy, because somewhere throughout the day, I'm more than 100% positive. If you're around people every day, all day, somebody is hurting. Somebody needs truth in their life. They don't need, like pastors always saying, oh, yesteryear's word. No, they need something fresh. They want something new. So divine encounter requires divine attention. Verse 4, and Yehovah saw that he turned aside to see, and Elohim called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moshe, Moshe. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not come near here. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is set apart ground. Now we know, we can say this is set apart ground. You can say your house is set apart ground. You know what makes that ground set apart? The presence of Yehovah. That's what makes that ground set apart. Because his presence is there. That's what made this ground set apart where Moshe was at. Because Yehovah was there. His presence was there. That's why he told him, this is set apart. This ground is holy. Because I'm here. This very place right here that we're standing on, this is holy ground. Maybe one day we might have a service where we leave our shoes at the door. Because that's what he told him. Take your sandals off. Don't be surprised. Elohim calls Moshe, Moshe. He calls him. He calls the name twice. That's personal. Elohim doesn't merely call a crowd. He calls Moses. He calls one. He calls you. He don't call a crowd. He calls you. He called me. He didn't call a crowd. He called me. He doesn't call. He called. Sometimes he might call a group of people, but when he wants somebody to lead or speak a word, he calls an individual. He calls you personally. And when he calls you name twice, yeah, it's significant. Here I am, Moses answered. But the Hebrew expression carries the sense of present availability and readiness. Moses doesn't yet know what Elohim will ask. He simply says, Hene, here I am. He has no idea what Elohim is asking of him or going to be asking of him. But yet he still says, here I am. Imagine that. We want to know what direction God is leading us before we say, here I am. If he says my name, I'm going to ask him a million questions. Where are we going? Who's coming with me? Instead of just saying, here I am. That's what Moshe did. And you can write these. You can write these passages down, because he also called a few other people before he called Moshe. We know he called Abraham, Genesis 22. He called Samuel, 1 Samuel 3 and 4. I don't give the verse. It was Genesis 22, 1. Isaiah, he called Isaiah in Isaiah 6, 8. And then he called Moses in Exodus 3, 4. And that's a pattern. We've been on this pattern. We see how he has worked. Everything he does is with a pattern. We've been seeing that throughout this Exodus. And Elohim calls, servants responds, assignment follows. Elohim's call, us as servants responds, and then the assignment to follow. He don't have to give you, he wants to see you trust him. He wants to know how much faith you actually have inside him before he gives you the blueprint. He just wants you to answer the call. Don't worry about the details. I'm going to work out every detail. I'm going to work out every detail for you. I'm with you. We're going to see where we read a little further down in this chapter. He says, I'm with you. When he tells them to go. Well, who should I tell them? I am's with you. This is about, this Exodus is about, this is, Exodus 3 is the most, it's probably the climax of this whole Exodus story. It's this Exodus 3, this chapter 3. Very, very important. We might not want to miss no partnership, no teachings from here on, from this morning on with this Exodus. We try our hardest. Try your hardest to make it. And I know life is tough. Look, you don't want to. Just you're tired, you're sick, whatever it is. You feel weight of all those things. But yet you got to push through it. And I was told that this morning. Because I was ready to pass it. I really was. I was ready to use my car. As my wife told me a while back. Remember I mentioned that. I was ready to use my car. But he wasn't ready for me to use my car. He said, well, that's where you got to push through. That was the words he gave me this morning. I'm thinking he was going to be like, all right, well, you know, I'm ready. I'll take it. No, he says, this is where you got to push through. I said, okay, well, I'm going to push through then. And I'm glad he did. I'm glad, so glad. Because you never know. You never know how you overcome things unless you're in it. If you're in it, it's so easy to just sit back and just, I'm feeling it today. I don't put your little sad face on. That's what Moshe did when he ran. After he did what he did, but yeah, that's so thankful. Anyway, here we go. Let's continue on. Verse 5, and he said, do not come near here. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is set apart ground. Set apart, holy, Kodesh. Elohim tells Moses, take your sandals off. Kodesh. Set apart, holy. 86944, sacred. The root idea is separation or being set apart for Elohim. You're not being set apart for no one else. When he sets you apart, when he sets his people apart, it's set apart for him. You're not set apart for your wife. You're not set apart for your husband, your children. No, one person only, him. That's who we set apart for. The ground itself wasn't magically holy. That's what I was saying, you know, mentioning a little while ago. It was Elohim's presence that made that place holy. It wasn't because of the geographic area he was in at the mountain. Now, we know that mountain's going to be something serious in the chapters later on because it's not Horeb. It's Horeb right now, but we know it's about to be Sinai later on in the chapter. It's amazing how incredible God is that he can change names to a mountain. It's his. And he gets to call places holy or sacred. Only he can do that. So it was his presence that made that place set apart. Before Moses received the assignment, he learned reverence. Before Moses received the assignment, he learned reverence. Before he represents Elohim before Pharaoh, he must learn to stand before Elohim. Before we can go out and start telling people what they need to do for Elohim, we better make sure that we can stand in his presence and say those things boldly and be living it out. It's easy for us to say that somebody else should be doing something and we're not doing it. Amen. Come on. So easy to do that and so easy to get caught up in that. And don't even really have the eye to see it. You think you're doing, like Moshe thought he was doing a righteous act back then in Exodus 2. But he jumped the gun. But Elohim took a flawed decision and he he stamped it later on in this chapter. He still used Moses. Even though you got out of character, even though you did something you weren't supposed to do, you jumped the gun, you jumped my assignment, you jumped in front of me going before you. But yet he still took that flaw of zeal and turned it into something good. We must learn to stand before Elohim. That's important. We want calling without concentration, consecration, authority without reverence, assignment without intimacy. But Elohim says, take your sandals off. In other words, before we go and represent him, we must learn who we are standing before. Before we go to represent him, we must learn who we're standing before. And how you learn that? I tell you, I listened to the message on talk about the kabod not too long ago. He just did a little recap on it pretty much. And he talked about, I think for Family and Friends Day, talked about the glory and the weight of Elohim. Got to know who we're talking about when we go to talking about somebody. Listen, the next conversation we go to have with Mia, we're going with authority. And I told my wife that. I'm going because I have to. I have to because the things that's going in her ear to persuade her, the things that she needs to do to self-medicate herself for sleep and all that, no, that's wrong. And I felt the heaviness on me to go and make this right. I have to. It's not a question that I have to. But I got to make sure that I'm in line with him and I'm speaking right about him and I know what his words say. I even told her that. I said, I got to go with scripture. I'm not going with my ideas. I'm not going with what of course, I'm going with what I've been through in that situation. I know what that stuff does to you. So I have that, but I'm also going with this because this is what's going to bring breakthrough in her life. This is what's going to bring breakthrough. So know who we're talking about when we're talking about Elohim. And he said, verse 6, and he said, I am the Elohim of your father, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, and the Elohim of Yaakov. And Moshe hid his face, for he was afraid to look at Elohim. Notice who he told him he was the father of. The ones who he made covenant with way back when. He was letting Moshe know, I'm not going to break covenant. I'm going to keep my covenant. The God of Abraham, and Yaakov. Elohim says, I am the Elohim of your father, and he names him. This is extremely important. Elohim introduces himself through covenant relationship. He doesn't say, I am a new God. He says, I am the Elohim of Abraham, I am the Elohim of Yitzhak, and I am the Elohim of Yaakov. He didn't say he was nobody new. I'm the same one from way back then in Abraham's day, the same God that made the covenant back then, the same God that's going to make a covenant with you, Moshe. The covenant connection in Genesis 15, 13 through 16. Let's look at that, because that's what he's referring to when he said that to him. He's letting him know, this covenant I made way back in Genesis 15, 13 through 16. And he said to Abram, know for certain that your seed are to be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Moshe, go back and read what I wrote way back what Abraham said. 400 years. I told you I was going to be afflicted for 400 years. But the nation whom they serve, I am going to judge. And afterward, let them come out with great possessions. Now, as for you, you are to go to your fathers in peace. You are to be buried at a good old age. That covenant right there that he made. You know, and I was thinking about that. That covenant he made with Abraham. Because Brother Chad talked on it, like not this time, last time he talked, but the time before that he mentioned it about Abraham. And I went home that night and I was just thinking about it and I read it. And then I go outside, right, because I want to look. Because he told him, count the stars. He says, count the stars because that's going to be your descendants. And I begin to weep Because way back then, you know, he counted me as one of them stars, as a descendant of Abraham.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Way back when I sat outside and I just looked up and I said, God, you're so great, you're so mindful. That way back when, if I could, one, I'm just to say that, and it had some stars in the cloud that night. That one right there, you know, that's Josh. It does something to you. When those little nuggets, those little long times, when you go out there and you just, oh, when he deals with you, it's just amazing. But yeah, way back when he says, Abraham, he thought about me, thought about Rob, thought about Alec, Sister Hillary, Sister Sabrina, Sister Kelsey, Dave, Sister Lynn, all of us. Just, if this come back to your mind, just go outside right when it gets dark and just look up and just think about that pastor, that was you. Way back when, making a covenant, you're a descendant. We are all a descendants of Abraham. So good to us. Get back to Exodus, chapter 3. All right. Verse 6, and he said, I am the Elohim of your father, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, and the Elohim of Jacob. And Moshe hid his face, for he was afraid to look at Elohim. And Yehovah said, I have indeed seen oppression. And look, he told him that right at the end of Exodus chapter 2. What he told him that he said, I heard the groaning. I remembered my covenant with Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham. He said that right at the end of 2. And right here in 7, he says the same thing. And he says, I have indeed seen the oppression of my people. He's letting Moses say, no, I seen them. I haven't been vocal, but I have been present. Listen, Israel could not have grown without the presence of God being there. With a decree of all babies to be, of all Hebrew boys to be killed, but yet they still grew. Think about that. And, you know, of course, it also helps when the mama's name has got Yah in it in the glory. Oh, wow. I mean, how powerful was that? I have truly seen. This is one of the strongest sections of the chapter. Elohim says, I have surely seen the affliction or the oppression of my people. Seeing, I have seen. The repetition intensifies the statement. Elohim isn't saying, I vaguely notice. He is saying, I have seen. There's a big difference with just noticing something. But when you see it, basically what he's saying is, I was in it. I have been there the whole time, never left. I have heard their cry to hear, listen, obey, and understand. When's the last time we heard someone's cry? When's the last time we sat and just listened to them or just heard them? Don't give our ideas or our thoughts. Just let them cry. Just hear them out. Just hear what they got to say. That's what Elohim does for us daily, daily, for the whole world. Think about that. He don't do it just for me and you that's in here. He does it for the whole world. He listens to every single cry, every thought that comes across our mind, every doubt, every fear. He sees it, he feels it, and he's in there. He's in our midst every single day. Every time we're going through something, he's right there with us. Elohim says he had heard their cry. This is important because Israel probably felt, does Elohim even hear us? You think they might have thought that? All for 400 years of just bad stuff happening to them? 400 years of just hard labor? You think they're going to question and say, man, is he hearing us? Is he listening? We do that, and we ain't nowhere near them. We have nowhere near the oppression Israel had back here in this story. But yeah, we're questioning when we're having a bad day or a bad week. God forbid if it's a bad week. I know, because I was just in it for about 2 weeks. I was in it. And I was like, man. Even this, I was like, I don't know how this guy does it. How you do life, everyday life, all your stuff, work, and then still got to find the time to seek him. We have to. We have to. If I learned a lesson these last 2 weeks, it's I have to find the time to give him. It's, you have to, especially in leadership. If you're in leadership, if you're presenting, if you're speaking about him, just what he said, make sure you know the guy you're talking about. You make sure you got to spend the time. I don't care how tired you are or what. You have to push through. This was a life lesson these last 2 weeks for Pastor Josh. I can promise y'all. It was a life lesson. Have to make time for him. Why? He's making time for you every day. You know, every day. Every day is a hope. Every day we have hope. Every day is a miracle. Every day is a blessing. Every single day that we get to open up our eyes because somebody didn't get to. Somebody didn't get to. Somebody didn't make it. But every day he give us that. It's a hope. It's a hope that we don't even think about. We don't even think about that. We just, it's natural, you know, it's just what we're supposed to do. Go to sleep and wake up. Go to work, life. Go to sleep, wake up, life. Go to sleep, wake up, life. It's just what we're supposed to do. No, it's more to it than that. It's more to it. I have heard their cry. To hear, listen, obey, understand. Elohim says he had heard their cry. This is important because Israel probably felt that Elohim is not hearing us. And the answer is yes. I know their sorrows, he said in that same verse. This is perhaps one of the most beautiful statements in Exodus 3. Elohim says he knows their suffering. If he knows theirs, you think he knows ours? Absolutely. He knew it before years. He knew it before we was even born. He knew. He said, this day you're going to run into this problem. This day you're going to run into that problem. This day you're not going to seek my advice. This day you're going to slack a little bit in talking to me. Or searching for me. He sees it all. He sees it all. But the enemy wants us to, he beats us up when we get in these droughts, you know? He makes you think, well, look at you, or God is not hearing you, or he ain't listening to you because you didn't do this yesterday, or you didn't do that, or you didn't say this, or you didn't say that. Tears you up in your mind, man. Gets you thinking all squirrel and gets you acting out of character. And what the word does to us, though, the word pulls us right back in. That's why it's so important that we have to take part in this every day. We eat every day. If you're going to feed your physical man, you better be feeding your spiritual man more, if not as much or more. Hey, this is some good grits. This is some good grits. I'm telling you, cheesy, extra cheesy or buttery, whatever you like. I don't know. Whatever floats your boat. But yeah, man, we got to get in this. This is so important. Biblically, to know. And that's yada. And that's H3045. Biblically, yada is often rationally knowledge, not merely intellectual information. Elohim doesn't simply know about their pain. He knows. Listen, he doesn't simply know about your pain either. He knows it, he sees it, he hears it, and he responds. He responds every single time. Every single time he responds. Now, his response, it might not come when we want it. It might be a little delay in it. How much faith do we have? Are we going to continue to pray towards what we need? Or are we going to feel like, well, he didn't hear me. I'm going to move on to the next subject. Or the next topic, or the next situation I got. No, he's going to respond to that one before he responds to the other one. Now, he's so wonderful that he done responded to the one over here before it even got to you. Because Because that's the type of God we serve. He doesn't wait. He responds. He just want to see how much patience we got, how much waiting we're going to do for him. So he knows, he sees, he hears, and he responds to whatever you're dealing with in your life. Don't think that he doesn't care. He does care. He does care about y'all and us. Elohim says, I have seen, I have heard, and I know. And this means your suffering is not invisible, your prayer is not unheard, and your situation is not unknown to Elohim. Verse 8, and I have come down to deliver them from the hand of the Mishrites and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites. And now, see, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Mishrites oppressed them. This is the next great movement. Elohim says he has come down. He told Moshe, I have come down. Wait, what? Elohim, come down? He says, I have come down to deliver them. Notice his pattern again. He sees, hears, knows, come down and delivers. And then he sends Moses. This becomes a powerful biblical pattern pointing forward to Messiah. And let's look in some New Testament connections. In Yeshua, we see the ultimate expression of Elohim coming near to his people. John 1:14. He sent his very own son to come and dwell in the midst of us. That's Elohim saying, I've come down. That's him coming down in essence. Philippians 2:6-8. Yeshua humbled himself and took the form of a servant. Hebrews 2:14-15. He came to deliver those held in bondage. Our master, Yeshua. This is all him right here. Verse 10, and now come, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Mitzrayim. And Moshe said to Elohim, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Mitzrayim, I got switched up. Verse 11 again, and Moshe said to Elohim, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Mitzrayim? And he said, because I am with you. No other reason. What other reason you need? If God tells us to move or tells us to go somewhere or tells us to say something or do something, who are we to ask a million and one questions? Why? Because what he says. This is what Moshe said. Who am I? And he says, I'm with you. That's why. No other reason. You don't need no other reason. If I said it, it's how we say that. It's written in stone. Take it to the, you can take that to the bank. This is one word you can take to the bank. You know, we say that all the time. You can take that to the bank. Man, you don't want to take nothing I say to the bank. The bank going to kick you out. They're going to call the police. But his word, you can take that to the bank. His word is concrete. His word is yay and amen. If he said it, he'll do it. Moses asks, who am I? This is fascinating. Elohim has just revealed who he was, and Moses responds, who am I? That's often what happens when Elohim calls us. Oh, yeah. Who am I? Ain't no way. Not after all what I did. Not after all what I just did yesterday, sometimes you might want to say to him. After what I just did? After what I just, how I just acted? Well, that's right. And look, Since I said that, this was one of my battles. This was one of my struggles with Mia. I felt that, who am I? Because many nights I slept on that girl's sofa. 3 times for sure when I left here, out of the 4 times running. That was the house I went to first. So that young man, he's seen. Matter of fact, this young man was here at an ordination service. Him and my aunt both stood right here in this altar, prayed for both of them. Jacques, 10 years old at the time, 11 maybe. And now he's seeing Uncle Josh sleeping on his sofa. Yeah, that's the kind of burdens I was talking about, was feeling all these last 2 weeks. Because who am I? Her friends, when they would come to see Mia, they would see Mia, you know, on the sofa. The same friends that's dealing with. So now all this is in my mind. Who am I? When I was supposed to be doing this, I was over here doing that. Now, him. Now, how can I try to be a witness? Who am I? Because I'm in your midst. Because I'm in your midst. Because I'm telling you. Because I gave you the eyes to see what's going on right here. Now, how are you going to respond? You going to sit here, stay back, and just still be, oh, poor me? Or you going to walk in the forgiveness that I forgave you? Yeah. They don't understand it, but you understand it. But you show them. You show them. Oh, and you, matter of fact, you tell them, yeah, I messed up. Yeah, I shouldn't have been there. But I'm glad I was there. I shouldn't say I was glad, but he took something bad and made it something good. Because it formed a relationship with me and Mia, and I know I could relate to when it's going to be quiet in that house. Because I was there. I could hear, Jacques, turn the TV off. Jacques, turn the game off. Jacques, it's 12 o'clock. Jacques, this, you got school. I heard all that throughout the night. I heard all that. So it hit home hard for me. It really did. Even to where I'm questioning, who am I? There ain't no way I can be over there, but I have to be. God is just, when he lines you up, you got to go and you got to do. Forget your past. You got to walk in where you're going now. But yeah, I had these same questions. Who am I? It's tough. It's a tough situation. But God's good. Amen. He's good to us. We just got to let him do. We don't need to know all our whys and hows. If he says Moshe, Moshe, or Josh, Josh, or Scott, Scott, Hene, here am I, plain and simple. And I'm just going to trust that you're going to lead me and guide me. So, yeah. Who am I? That's often what happens when Elohim calls us. We look at ourselves. I'm not qualified. I'm not capable. I don't have enough. Who am I? But Elohim doesn't answer. Moses, you are amazing. He don't answer. He didn't say that. He said he gives him something much greater. Let's read it. Where did we stop? 11? And Moshe said to Elohim, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Mitzrayim? And he said, because I am with you. Because I am with you. You might want to highlight that, underline it, put in your notes very big, because the next time the enemy comes and try to throw you that you are disqualified and tells you all you're wrong what you're doing, go to Exodus chapter 3 right there. And you read that verse and it says, because I am with you. Josh, how you can go and be in that presence of your cousin in this lost time? Because I am with you. Not because Josh got the right words to say. Matter of fact, I hardly say anything when I'm there half the time because I just want to let her do her own thing. And besides, you got a million people over there anyway, so you just, you know, be quiet. But because he's with me. That's how we can continue to go over there, because God is with us, because Elohim is with us. I shall certainly be with you. Let's finish reading. It says, because I am with you, and this is to you the sign that I have sent you, When you have brought the people out of Mitzrayim, you are to serve Elohim on this mountain. Who am I? You are enough. You are enough. I will be with you. That's the difference. Moses' confidence doesn't come from Moses. Our confidence doesn't come from us. No matter how confident we are in ourselves. Because look, you can be very, very confident in yourself. And sometimes I do walk like that, like I think I'm very confident in myself. And sometimes I might be. But he humbles you too if you get too confident. Think yourself. But it wasn't Moshe's confidence that made him. It comes from Elohim's presence. That's where your confidence comes from. You know how you get confidence to speak? From Elohim's presence. That's how so important it is to have his presence with us everywhere we go. Because we can easily so speak out of turn, so quick. Whether it's in a grocery store, whether it's in a gas station, at a ballpark, wherever. His presence better be with us. Because we can get out of character quick. And we've seen that in Exodus 2. Elohim's presence wasn't with Moshe, and he acted out of character. Killed the man, which was not the pattern Elohim used it anywhere in Scripture. Anywhere. But it's his presence that make a difference in our life. It's his presence. And when you ask, when you're asking yourself, who am I, when he tells you, when he calls you, Elohim's answer is this. You don't have to be enough. I will be with you. Because the enemy is going to eat you up right here to make you think I am not enough. But Elohim says, I will. Not I might. He's making a command. I will be with you. I will be. The calling isn't sustained by your ability. It is sustained by his presence. Verse 13. And Moshe said to Elohim, see, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the Elohim of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And Elohim said to Moshe, I am that which I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And this is the climax of the chapter. Because it's what he's saying right here is Eye Asher Eye, I think it is. And Eye is Strong's H1961. And it's to be, become, come to pass, exist. I am the all-existing one, Moshe. That's all you got to say, the I am. That covers every name that's attached to Yehovah. The I am, just the I am. I am. I am the one in the beginning. I am the one in the end. I am the one in the middle. I am the one all around. I'm just I am. That's powerful. Do you think about those two little words? I am. I am. Only Yah can use those words. I am. I will be. I shall be. The Hebrew verbal form carries a dynamic sense of being will be rather than simply functioning as a static title. The exact translation of the phrase has been discussed by Hebrew scholars with renderings including, I am who I am and I will be what I will be. I am what I am and I will be what I will be. Elohim is telling Moshe, my existence does not depend upon Pharaoh. I don't care how much power Pharaoh got or who Pharaoh think he is. My existence doesn't depend on Pharaoh. My covenant does not depend upon Egypt. My power does not depend upon Moses. Simply, I am. I'm just I am. So it don't matter what Pharaoh's going, what Pharaoh you have in your life, and you have one. If we're honest, I have one. There's things that, you know, that seems to be trying to take control over your life. You know, that's what Pharaoh wanted control, wanted to do whatever he wanted to do to you. And that's the enemy. The enemy is that if we have any Pharaoh in our life, we all have Hasatan. We all have the enemy. And he wants total control over our life. Amen. He wants us to do what he wants. He wants us to do what he wants us to do. He wants us to say what he wants us to say. He wants us to listen to what he wants us to listen to. He wants us to watch what he wants us to watch. Why? To get us totally out of line with Elohim. Totally out of line with him. But the I am is right here in our midst. The I am is right here. Elohim's name is connected to his covenant. And here's a few verses if you want to. Well, it's all in this chapter 3 right here. In Exodus 3:6, it says, I am the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In verse 7, it says, I have seen. In verse 8, I have came down. Verse 12, I will be with you. Let's read verse 13. Let's keep reading. And Moshe says to Elohim, see, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the Elohim of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And Elohim said to Moshe, I am that I am, which I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And Elohim said further to Moshe, thus you are to say to the children of Israel, Yehovah, Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, and the Elohim of Yaakov has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my remembrance in all generations. This is his remembrance in all generations. Can somebody say that includes us today? Are we still all generations? You better believe it. You best believe we're all the same. We're in this generation. And what are we all to do? We're all to remember. Remember. Go, verse 16. Go and you shall gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, Yehovah Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared to me, saying, I have indeed visited you and seen what is done to you in Mitzrayim. And I say, I am bringing you up out of the affliction of Mitzrayim to the land of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hittite and the Jebusite to a land flowing with milk and honey. Listen, he is bringing us out. He is bringing us out of the affliction. We are on course to that land, to that promised land. One day it will be ours. We might not see it now. We asking him, is he here? Is he, you know, is he answering? But he's telling us, I'm going to bring y'all to that promised land. We just have to be patient. Notice how much of Exodus 3 is built around what Elohim will do. Moses will deliver Israel, but I will bring you up. Moses is the servant, Elohim is the deliverer. Moses is the instrument, Elohim is the power. Yeah. Moshe, he didn't have no power to do none of this. He stuttered. He couldn't even talk right. But yet Elohim used him as, why? Because he was the power. Yeah. Same thing for us today. We're the instrument, but he is our power. He's our power. Moses is the messenger. Elohim is the redeemer. Moshe is the messenger. Elohim is the redeemer. Verse 18, and they shall listen to your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders. Uh-oh. Elders? Listen who he's calling. And you shall listen to your... And they shall listen to your voice, and you shall call, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel. Who he's taking with him over there to call, to get them people free, the elders. He's not taking the young bucks. Young bucks, they knuckleheads. That's what young bucks are. They do things, they act out of character. basically. So you think Elohim's going to send a knucklehead? Nah. I'm going to send Moshe. Then look, you call them elders because them elders are wise. They are. Our elders here are wise. We learn from our welders, elders who might be welders. I don't know. But our elders, they're amazing. You can learn from them. We should learn from them. That's why Moses called. That's why Elohim called Moses and the elders to go deliver his people. He didn't call the young bucks. He didn't say, take all the young men. You're going to need the young men, Moses. No, take the one, the elders that's in age. Why? Because the elders are slow to speak. They've been there, done that. They're more wise. They have more wisdom than the young ones. And they shall listen to your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the sovereign of Mishraim, and you shall say to him, Yehovah Elohim of the Hebrews has met with us. Who? Who is Elohim? Listen to words he's given to Moshe to tell Pharaoh. Tell him the Elohim, because Pharaoh and them had many Elohims in Egypt. They had many gods. But he told them, no, tell them your Elohim is the Elohim of the Hebrews. That's the one that's coming to be the Redeemer. Has met with us, and now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness to slaughter Yehovah Elohim. But I know that the sovereign of Mishraim is not going to let you go, not even by a strong hand. And I shall stretch out my hand and strike Mishraim with all my wonders, which I shall do in its midst. And after that he shall let you go. And I shall give his people favor, shall give this people favor in the eyes of the Mishraites, and it shall be that when you go, you shall not go empty-handed. But every man, my wife just exhorted the women just a little while ago, if y'all ain't, I'm hoping the women is really catching on to this, to what we've, how God has been using the women in these last Torah portions. Who he calls to, what he says, but every woman shall ask from her neighbor and from her who sojourns in her house, objects of silver, objects of gold, and garments. And you shall put them on your sons and your daughters and shall plunder the Mishraites. The women, go ask your neighbors. Tell them to give you all what belongs to them. Because it all, Yehovah, there's a transfer being, of wealth being transferred right here. There's a transfer of wealth waiting for you too. Receive it. Amen. Thank him for it. Because it's coming. A transfer of wealth is coming. Amen. We just have to be in the right place to receive it, the right mindset, to know what to do with it. First of all, before he transfers all that to us. Your wilderness does not mean God has forgotten you. Moses spent years in the wilderness, but the wilderness became the place of revelation. Don't despise preparation. Don't despise preparation. Number two, the fire can burn without destroying you. You may be in the fire, but if his presence is with you. Huh? Where was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? In the fire. What happened to them? Nothing. Why? Because the presence of Elohim was with them. Same thing with this burning bush. The presence of Elohim was right. That was the presence of Elohim. Not burning, not catching a fire. The fire doesn't get the final word. You might be going through the fire today. In this very moment, as you're hearing this word go forth, but the final is not the very word. You want to know what's the final word? It's not the end. This is the final word. Amen. I'm getting a little tongue twisted up here, but this is the final word. The fire is not the final word. What you're going through is not the final word. It's what Elohim said. Where are we going? The other side. He didn't say you wasn't going to be going through stuff to get to the other side. He said you're going to the other side. But he's in his presence is right there with us. That's the final word. Number three, stop and turn aside. That's the one we don't want to do. Because I'm going to be honest, if I see something burn, something on fire in the name, I'm not going near that thing. I'm going to be scared. But stop and turn aside. Moses had to stop and look. There are moments when Elohim is trying to get your attention. There's moments when he's trying to get your attention. That burning bush was to get Moshe. Maybe if Moshe would have seen it burning and crackling, he probably would never pay no attention to it. He'll probably walk right on past by. But because of the things that was happening, the glow that was on this thing, it caught his attention, caught his eye. What is Elohim trying to push our way to catch our attention, to catch our eye? Don't miss the encounter because you're too busy with the journey. Oh, boy. Don't miss the encounter because you're too busy with the journey. Too worried about the journey. How much are we there yet? How much further? How much longer? Huh? Don't get too busy. This is for me. If it ain't for anybody else, this was for me. Answer. Hene. When Elohim calls, just say, Hene, here I am. Availability comes before assignment. You want the assignment, but you don't want to make yourself available. Make yourself available, then he's going to give you an assignment. He's not going to give you an assignment without you being available first. You're too busy. Sometimes we're too busy. We got to unbusy ourselves. I heard that before. God's good. Number five, remove your sandals. Before you ask, what is my calling? Ask, am I standing in reverence before Elohim? Before you ask, what's your calling? Ask yourself, am I in line with him? Am I standing in reverence with him? Am I doing? Am I saying? Am I in my own quiet time, my private time? Am I setting time aside for him? Remember the covenant. Elohim identifies himself as the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Your circumstances cannot cancel his covenant faithfulness. Your circumstances cannot cancel his covenant faithfulness. Don't matter what your circumstances are. If it's a covenant he made, he don't break covenant. We do. He doesn't. He reminds us. Way back, remember that covenant I made with Abraham with them stars? That's you. That's you. Number seven, he sees, hears, and knows. He sees your affliction. He hears your cry. He knows your suffering. You are not forgotten. You are not forgotten. Number eight, stop asking, who am I? And remember, who is with me? Stop asking, who am I? Remember who's with you. Moses says, who am I? Elohim essentially answers, I will be with you. When Moshe says, who am I? What an answer. I'm going to be with you. Don't worry about who you are. Worry about who I am. Don't worry about who you are, Moshe. I know you ain't got it all together. I know you're a knucklehead. But that's why I got you in this hidden place. I'm shaping you. I'm forming you into the deliverer I want you to be, that I'm calling you to be. Same thing with us. In our obscurities, our little hidden places, that's where he's forming us. He's not paying attention to us. He's got full attention of us. He's got full attention on us when you're going through something, when you're feeling lost, when you're feeling like I just can't go no more. That's when he wants you to turn. That's when he wants you to turn his attention to him, because he's right there. He's nudging you every day, every day. I will be with you. Your calling isn't about your greatness. It is about his presence. Plain and simple. Today is about his presence. It's not about me. It's not about my calling. It's not about what I'm going through. It's about his presence, and I'm thankful for his presence. And I'm thankful that I was told this is where you just got to push through. Amen. Instead of saying, oh, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. No, you learn. You grow. And I'm so thankful for that. So thankful. So that's all I have. Amen. that was Exodus chapter 3. Now the brothers is going to cut it up, so just be ready. Come hungry. Come hungry. And listen, know that whatever we're going through, whatever our circumstances may be, I am is right there in our presence. He never leaves us nor forsake us, the scripture says. Never. And he never gives us more than we can bear. Amen. He's good to us. So let's stand.